Welcome to the OCR GCSE Physical Education Study Podcast. I'm your study guide tutor, and today we're diving into one of the most practical and exam-relevant topics in the whole specification, application of rules and regulations. That's topic 7.2. Whether you're sitting the written paper or preparing your NEA practical performance, this topic touches everything. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get into it. First, let me give you the big picture. Rules and regulations exist in sport for three fundamental reasons: to ensure safety, to guarantee fairness, and to maintain the flow of the game. Every single question you'll ever face on this topic, whether it's a 2-mark identify question or a 6-mark evaluate question, can be answered better if you keep those three pillars front and center. Safety, fairness, game flow. Tattoo them on your brain. Now, before we go any further, I need to address the number one mistake candidates make in this topic, and it costs marks every single year. Confusing rules with regulations. They are not the same thing. Rules are the laws of the game, the specific gameplay instructions. Offside in football, held ball in netball, a knock-on in rugby, these are rules. Regulations, on the other hand, cover the competition structure, equipment specifications, and safety requirements, the size of a football pitch, the weight of a netball, the required protective equipment in hockey. Regulations are the framework around the game. Rules are what happens during it. If an exam question asks about regulations and you only talk about rules, you will lose marks. Be precise. Let's now look at the core concepts in depth. The role of officials is a massive area for AO1 and AO2 marks. An official, whether that's a referee, umpire, judge, or timekeeper, has three core responsibilities. Number one, maintaining safety. This means enforcing rules around dangerous play, ensuring players are wearing the correct protective equipment, and having the authority to stop the game if a player is injured. In football, the referee can show a red card for a tackle that endangers the safety of an opponent. In hockey, the umpire enforces rules about stick height to prevent dangerous play. In rugby, the referee manages scrums carefully to protect players from injury. Number two, ensuring fairness. Officials must apply the rules consistently and without bias. They award the correct sanction for each infringement. In netball, the umpire awards a free pass when a player commits a footwork violation. In football, the referee awards a penalty kick when a foul occurs inside the penalty area. Consistency is key. If an official applies rules differently to different players or teams, the fairness of the competition is undermined. Number three, maintaining game flow. Officials manage restarts, manage time, and communicate decisions clearly so that play can continue smoothly. A good official minimizes unnecessary stoppages. In basketball, the referee uses clear hand signals to communicate decisions instantly so players understand and play resumes quickly. Now, here's a crucial exam technique point. When you're asked about the role of an official in a written question, you must explicitly link their actions to one or more of those three pillars. Don't just say, the referee blows the whistle for a foul. Say, the referee blows the whistle for a foul to ensure fairness, as the offending player gains an unfair advantage and awards the correct sanction, a free kick, to restore the balance of the game. That's the difference between 1 mark and 3 marks. Let's talk about sport-specific rules. The OCR specification expects you to know the specific rules of your chosen NEA activity in detail. But for the written exam, you need to be able to apply rules across a range of sports. Let me give you some key examples. In netball, governed by England netball, key rules include footwork. A player cannot move their landing foot once they have caught the ball. Held ball. A player must release the ball within 3 seconds. Obstruction. A defending player must stand at least 0.9 meters from the player with the ball. The sanction for most infringements in netball is a free pass to the opposing team. In football, governed by the FA, key rules include offside. A player is in an offside position if they are nearer to the opponent's goal line than both the ball and the second-to-last defender when the ball is played to them. Handball. Deliberate handball in the penalty area results in a penalty kick. A red card results in dismissal from the field and the team plays with 10 players. In rugby union, governed by the RFU, key rules include knock-on, if a player drops the ball forward, a scrum is awarded to the opposing team. Offside at the breakdown, players must retreat behind the hindmost foot of the ruck. A yellow card results in a 10-minute sin bin period. In hockey, governed by England hockey, key rules include a penalty stroke is awarded for a deliberate foul inside the circle that prevents a goal. A free hit is awarded for infringements outside the circle. The ball must be played with the flat side of the stick only. Notice how I used the correct terminology for each sport. Held ball, not holding on too long. Knock on, not dropping the ball forward. Penalty stroke, not penalty. Examiners award marks for precise, sport-specific language. Using the correct NGB terminology is a guaranteed way to access the higher mark bands. Now let's talk about officiating technology because this is a favorite topic for evaluate questions. VAR, video assistant referee, is used in football. TMO, television match official, is used in rugby. Hawkeye is used in cricket and tennis. These technologies have transformed officiating, but they come with trade-offs. The benefits of officiating technology include greater accuracy in decision-making, reducing the impact of human error, the ability to review incidents that the referee may have missed, and increased confidence in the fairness of decisions, particularly in high-stakes matches. The drawbacks include disruption to the flow of the game, VAR reviews can take several minutes, breaking the momentum of play, controversy around subjective decisions such as handball, where technology doesn't eliminate debate, the potential for reduced spontaneous celebrations as goals are checked, and the cost and infrastructure required, which means it's only available at elite level. In an evaluate question, you need to present both sides and reach a justified conclusion. For example, while VAR improves the accuracy of key decisions, its frequent use disrupts game flow and can reduce the emotional experience of the game for players and spectators. On balance, the benefit of correct decisions in high-stakes matches outweighs the disruption, provided reviews are time-limited. That's a strong evaluative response because it acknowledges both sides and makes a clear, justified judgment. Now, for your NEA practical assessment, this is where rules and regulations become real. In Component 03, you are assessed on your ability to perform in your chosen activity under competitive conditions. Examiners and your teacher are looking for evidence that you apply the rules automatically without hesitation and without needing to be reminded. If you commit a footwork violation in netball and don't acknowledge it, or if you play on after a knock-on in rugby, that demonstrates a lack of rule knowledge and will cost you marks in the performance assessment. The key advice here is this. Know the rules of your activity so well that they become instinctive. In your practical logs and written reflections, don't just list the rules, explain how you apply them tactically. For example, I use my knowledge of the obstruction rule in netball to position myself exactly 0.9 meters from my opponent, maximizing my defensive pressure while staying within the rules. That's tactical application of rules, and it's exactly what examiners want to see. Right, let's move into exam tips and common mistakes. Common mistake number one, describing an official's role without linking to safety, fairness, or game flow. Always make the connection explicit. Common mistake number two, using the wrong sanction for an infringement. Confusing a penalty stroke with a free hit in hockey or a free pass with a penalty in netball. Learn the exact sanction for each type of infringement in your chosen sport. Common mistake number three, using vague language. The referee makes sure the game is fair earns zero marks. The referee awards a penalty kick when a foul is committed inside the penalty area, ensuring the fouled team receives a fair opportunity to score, earns marks. Common mistake number four, in evaluate questions, only presenting one side. You must address both the strengths and limitations of whatever you're evaluating, whether that's officiating technology, a specific rule, or a regulation change. Top tip number one, learn the NGB for each major sport, FA for football, RFU for rugby union, England netball for netball, England hockey for hockey, England basketball for basketball. Referencing the NGB in your answer shows examiners you understand the governance structure of sport. Top tip number two, for six mark questions, use the structure. Point, evidence, explain, link, make your point, give a specific example, explain why it matters, and link back to safety, fairness, or game flow. Top tip number three, in your NEA written reflections, use the phrase in accordance with the rules set by followed by the NGB name. It signals to examiners that you understand the regulatory framework. Now, let's do a quick-fire recall quiz. I'll ask a question, pause, and then give the answer. See how many you can get. Question one, what is the correct term for when a netball player holds the ball for more than 3 seconds? Pause. The answer is held ball. Question two, which NGB governs football in England? Pause. The answer is the FA, the Football Association. Question 3. In rugby union, what is awarded when a player drops the ball forward? Pause. The answer is a scrum to the opposing team for a knock-on. Question 4. Name one benefit and one drawback of VAR in football. Pause. Benefit: greater accuracy in key decisions. Drawback: disruption to game flow. Question 5. What are the three pillars of officiating that you should always reference in exam answers? Pause. Safety, fairness, and game flow. How did you do? If you got all 5, brilliant, you're in great shape. If you missed any, go back and review those sections. Let me leave you with a quick summary of everything we've covered today. Rules are the laws of gameplay. Regulations cover equipment, competition structure, and safety requirements. Don't confuse them. Officials maintain safety, fairness, and game flow. Always link their actions to these 3 pillars in your exam answers. Use precise, sport-specific terminology from the correct national governing body. Held ball, not holding on too long. Knock on, not dropping the ball. Officiating technology like VAR and TMO improves accuracy but disrupts game flow. In evaluate questions, present both sides and reach a justified conclusion. In your NEA, apply rules automatically and tactically. Show in your written reflections how you use rule knowledge to gain a competitive advantage. And remember, every mark you earn in this topic comes from being specific, linking to the 3 pillars, and using the language of the national governing body. Good luck with your revision. You've got this. See you in the next episode.